the Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's going to be a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I got a big guest joining me live via phone right now. He is Al Franken. Al, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Al, I understand you're on a tour, the only former U.S. Senator on tour or something of that sort. Al, you're coming to Madison, Wisconsin. The Barrymore Theater Friday night. I tell people to call for tickets. I think you might be sold out, Al. People love you here.
Well, I think it's very close to that, so hurry if you want to. I think, we're very close to sold out, but... as of yesterday, there are some tickets left. Not many.
Al, what's the nature of the show Friday night? This tour you're on, I assume some humor, some satire. What's the nature of the performance you put on, sir?
Well, it's stand-up comedy. There's a lot of politics and a lot of political satire. I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of stand-up. I started in the show business with a partner, Tom Davis. We were two of the original SNL writers, and we met in high school and did stand-up together. But we were a team and did a very different thing than, you know, monologists do. And I've been kind of working on this for quite a while, and it's comedy. It's comedy. It's laughs. But as everyone can imagine, it has a lot of politics in it, and a lot of my experiences from the Senate, including with Ron Johnson. And so I'll be talking about him but it's comedy. It's comedy. It's laughs.
Well, Al, I've got to ask you, what has your experience with my pal Ron Johnson here in the state of Wisconsin? He used to come on my little liberal talk radio show, Al, like 25 times. I've had lots of cracks at this guy, and we've made lots of news on him. He didn't know the drinking age. Hell, there's lots of stuff that Ron Johnson doesn't know. But what's your impression of the man?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. He didn't seem to know a lot. When he was in the Senate, when McCain did that thumbs down on the save the ACA, a couple weeks later, Ron Johnson went on some Wisconsin radio show and said the reason that McCain had put the thumbs down was that it was because of his brain cancer, that he was addled. And at this time, John was very sick, and he had, after that vote, gone back to Arizona, and I didn't know whether I was going to see him again. So I told John that I was going to write him a bad news, good news joke. Every week, and the bad news part of it was always the bad news: you have brain cancer. The good news is, and then so after Johnson did that, I wrote the bad news is you have brain cancer. The good news is that Ron Johnson's ass cancer has moved to his mouth.
Folks, you are. And, I'm sorry to interrupt,
so,
folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, no, it's just that, thank God. Well, and then John, I didn't know if I was going to see him again. He came back one more time, and when he came back, he came into the chamber. He saw me. He pointed at me. He said, "That man earned every cent he ever made, not here, but at Saturday Night Live." And he was. Amazing guy, and Johnson's just an idiot. And also, he just spouts nonsense, and you guys got to beat him.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I've got a fine guest live via phone. He is Al Franken, humorist, former U.S. Senator. And Al, they're listening to you on KTNF AM 950 in Minneapolis right now. We're live right there. But Al, they miss you in politics, I suspect. Do you ever miss politics, sir?
Well, I miss being in the Senate. It was a place where I could get stuff done. And I also, sometimes when I watch hearings, I get a little frustrated. During the Jackson hearing, I just wish that my colleagues had been a little tougher on my Democrat colleagues, on the Republican colleagues that I thought were disgraceful. So, I miss it. I miss being in that. And, I accomplished a lot when I was there. And, I do miss it.
Well, I suspect they still think of you as Senator Franken in Minneapolis and across Minnesota. I know I still do at times. Al, how did your experience as a humorist, as a writer for SNL, did that prepare you well for politics?
Well, I thought it would. But what I learned is that when I decided to run, and it was against Norm Coleman for Paul Wellstone's seat. I was a friend of Paul's. I thought that SNL was going to be like a feather in my cap. And it turned out the people of Minnesota really didn't see the connection between comedy and the U.S. Senate. And if anything, it was sort of my comedy was used against me. I'll give you a couple. Like one of the first interviews I had with the press was a guy said to me, when you were at SNL, did you ever do cocaine? And I said, well, yes, but only a little. And just so that I could stay awake long enough to make sure that Belushi didn't do too much. Now, most people like you recognize that last part as a joke, but this guy wrote it up as Al Franken conceded that while at Saturday Night Live, he did cocaine, but said he only did a little so that he could stay awake late enough to make sure that cast member John Belushi didn't do too much. Belushi later died of a drug overdose. Now, that was sort of I learned that the press really has a vested interest in not getting jokes, right? So everything I ever had done was put through the dehumorizer. And so it was a real challenge. But Minnesotans, I think, kind of got it, actually. I had written a magazine article in like the late 90s warning parents that they should monitor what their kids were getting online. But I wrote it satirically. So I said, my son did a great fourth grade report last week on bestiality, and the kids in his class just loved it. He downloaded a lot of great visual aids, and the kids in the class just loved them. And so that was written up, Al Franken helped his son prepare a report on bestiality. And Chuck Schumer, who is head of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, said, oh, well, Al has too much baggage. It's going to hurt him. And so we had to do like focus groups to see if this really was. And when you do that, your pollster like ask questions like, if you knew Al Franken told jokes about bestiality, would you be more likely to vote for him or less likely?
How did that focus test? What did the voters think of bestiality jokes, if I may ask, sir?
Well, they would say less likely then, but then we would explain what the context was, and it turned out Minnesotans got irony and satire. And so I was able to convince especially Harry Reid that this wasn't really a problem. And I won. I clobbered Coleman by 312 votes, as you may remember.
I recall, yes, sir. Devil's Advocates Radio, fine guest Al Franken, former senator from the great state of Minnesota. He's on tour, Madison, coming to the Barrymore Theater this Friday night. Perhaps a few tickets still available. Call the Barrymore box office if you'd like to see his stand-up. Al, I got to tell you, one of the first books of yours I read, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot. He has left the right-wing talk radio sphere. Al, you were a lefty talker. You were part of the original Air America lineup, and you're beloved here at Madison. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've carried on that legacy here. I'm the station owner. I'm the little progressive station that could here in Madison, Wisconsin. Al, progressive radio, what do you think its place is in the media landscape? Understanding that, you know, behind Rush Limbaugh, there are hundreds of other righty-whitey talkers ready to go and step up and tell the new lies. Al, does left-wing talk radio have a place in this landscape?
Well, you know, Air America kind of, you know, shot itself in the foot, like right out of the starting gate, because we just had no money. And so we didn't have strong signals in a lot of cities. For example, in Minneapolis, the signal was not particularly strong. And, but also we didn't have money for billboards or any kind of advertising. And the guy who started the thing kind of misled everybody about how much money he had. And so if you think about like Fox News or something like that, they had billions of dollars to get going. Right. And, I think that's part of it. I don't know if just by nature, people who drive around, that the Rush Limbaughs, the Sean Hannitys, all those people, and then all the local versions of them, if there's some appeal about the spewing that these right-wing talk show hosts does, that is, you know, people love to get agitated, and we've just seen it. The whole reason for Rush Limbaugh's a Big Fat Idiot and other observations and Lies and Lying Liars to Tell Them was I was saying that the right wing was disseminating disinformation and that it was dangerous. And I don't know what's happened to that.
Yeah, right. Fortunately, that's all ended. Right. Nothing but the truth from the right now, Al.
Yeah, yeah. When I did Lies and Lying Liars, people were going like, you can't call people liars. And I went like, well, they're lying. And now everyone calls everybody else a liar all the time. But it's gotten worse and worse, hasn't it? And of course, a lot of that's social media, but it's all very, very dangerous.
Al Franken, former U.S. Senator from the great state of Minnesota. People are listening there right now. If you are in Madison or the area and you'd like to see Al Franken, come to the Barrymore Theater this Friday night. Perhaps a few good seats still available, but you better call the Barrymore Theater box office. Al, final thoughts. We got like 45 seconds. Ted Cruz, any final thoughts on Ted Cruz?
Are you guys on in Detroit?
What's that, sir? No, not Detroit. Chicago, Minneapolis, and Wisconsin primarily, sir.
Okay, going to be in Detroit the following night. But not Rush. Cruz, I have a whole Ted Cruz section in the show. I've always said that I probably like Ted Cruz more than most of my colleagues like Ted Cruz, and I hate Ted Cruz.
Al, I second that emotion, sir. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Devil's Advocates. Hope to see you Friday night at the Barrymore Theater. Thank you. Have a great show.
Come back. Come back safe. Hey, Mike. Bye.
Thank you.
the devil's advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, former U.S. Senator Al Franken. You know him, you love him. In fact, he has sold out the show at the Barrymore Theater this Friday night. We've gotten word from the box office, no more tickets. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to dangle out the fine stand-up of Al Franken and not give you a means of access, but we appreciate it. And apparently he's got a show Saturday night in Detroit, D-Town. Maybe Dom and you could road trip. Let him know. Call us, 844-967-2789. We'll coordinate the travel, if you know what I'm saying. Coming up in the next big hour, we've got Charles Franklin. He is a pollster extraordinaire. I'm trying to think what he used to be. Well, he's always been a pollster extraordinaire. He's a friend of ours. Hopefully that's a current tense. So anyways, Charles Franklin coming up at 4:30. New polling out in the great state of Wisconsin. I'll just give you a tease. It is a hell of a horse race suddenly in the U.S. senatorial race on the Democratic side. We've seen movement, and Alex Lazary has nearly caught the front runner, who is Mandela Barnes, if you're not from the state of Wisconsin. Now, we've been watching this race very closely. I had one of the fine candidates, U.S. Senator or senatorial candidate, Sarah Godlewski, in studio with me on Monday. I had Lazary very recently. I mean, hell, we had Mandela very recently, and we had Tom Nelson very recently. And technically, we had Peter Pekarsky, also a candidate, very recently. Godlewski's moved up slightly. She spent about $1 million. Lazary has spent something like $4.4 million, and he's closed the gap. It's like three, according to the new polling. But 6%, something like that, 6% plus margin of error. The number of Democrats polled, you know, by the time you take this sample and you break it down into Dems and Republicans, gets to be a relatively small sample. But I got to think, Lazary's team's probably doing cartwheels right now. And, you know, if I was Corey and the boys and girls running the Mandela Barnes for U.S. Senate campaign, I'd be a little nervous. And, you know, if I was Godlewski's campaign, I'd take some heart in the fact that, you know, at least they moved up slightly since the last poll. I hope $1 million got a few people's notice. And Tom Nelson, you know, Tom's probably there in the first tier. But then there's like seven other candidates, and it could be a jumbled mess because like half the people surveyed, half the people polled didn't even have a strong preference. So you take, you know, the just the Dem voters, and then you say, who's your favorite? And approximately half of them said, I haven't made up my mind yet. So, you know, take that polling for what it's worth. But Charles Franklin, the fine pollster, joins me at 4:30. But I want to tell a little story from my backyard about a woman who's suddenly become Big Lie Becky, Rebecca Clayfish. She is a Republican candidate, and she's currently the big front runner in the newest polling out of Wisconsin. Three plus Becky in the race. The newest entrant into the Republican field is a 100 millionaire, billionaire kind of Republican sort of self-funder. Think Donald Trump sort. His family owns, ironically, a big construction company. Tim Michaels, his name. And as I was booking our pal Charles Franklin to join me on this big show, he said, damn it, Michaels joined the race too late. So he is not reflected in the polling that currently has Clayfish way ahead of her opponents. Kevin Nicholson, whose only claim to fame, as near as I can tell, is he's got a sugar daddy, a U-line of the U-lines, and Tim Ramjam, who's in Rantham, whose entire electoral platform is, let's overturn the last election. And they do have some very specific polling about people's confidence in the last election. And, oh, yeah, the April election and the Gableman investigation. So we'll get there in the next hour. But I want to talk about Big Lie Becky Clayfish. Here's the headline at the Journal Sentinel. Remember, she's the front runner. With no evidence, Rebecca Clayfish, Wisconsin candidate for governor, well, she's now saying the 2020 election was rigged. Did you have to, Becky? Republican candidate for governor Rebecca Clayfish is escalating her criticism of how the last presidential election was carried out in Wisconsin, calling it rigged, a rigged contest, despite rulings and recounts confirming the outcome. The characterization comes as a fourth candidate enters the Republican primary with the ability to pour millions into his campaign and a backstory that could appeal to the head of the party, former President Donald Trump. Ooh, what if Trump endorses? That could change everything. Now, 17 months after the 2020 election, grievances over its outcome loom over Wisconsin's 2022 races as Trump continues to pressure Republicans to keep hope alive. Well, to keep alive his false claims of widespread fraud to maintain momentum for his expected 2024 campaign for president. And recounts, court rulings, state audits, and a study by a prominent conservative group have confirmed President Joe Biden. Breaking news, Becky. President Joe Biden won Wisconsin in 2020 by nearly 21,000 votes. None of the reviews have shown fraud manipulated the outcome of that election. You know, like even the Republicans that actually did the audits and stuff here in the state of Wisconsin didn't find any fraud. Anyways, Big Lie Becky Clayfish on Tuesday compared decisions made by Wisconsin's elections officials to navigate the coronavirus pandemic to those of NFL quarterback Tom Brady in 15 when he was accused of deflating footballs to gain an advantage for the New England Patriots in a playoff game. I often compare this to Deflategate, Clayfish said in a Tuesday interview on WTAQ. They won the game. Did they win legitimately? Did they replay the game? These are the questions we are facing right now at the highest level of governance, she said.
I can't honestly tell you the results in Pennsylvania and in Arizona and other states where there are questions. There's not really any other states where there are questions, Rebecca. They even did the cyber ninja audit in Arizona. So that's a disingenuous statement as well. I just point that out. But here's the rest of her quote. I'm focused exclusively on Wisconsin. And what I can tell you about Wisconsin is that it feels like it was rigged. It feels like it was rigged. Now, that's the Republican frontrunner for governor of the state of Wisconsin. And her current tenor is, yeah, probably rigged. Probably rigged. She went on to say something to the effect that, you know, this Tim Michaels, this rich guy that jumped into the race, well, he apparently doesn't believe it's rigged. Here is what this article says. Clayfish says candidates who don't address the 2020 election should be disqualified in voters' minds, referring to Tim Michaels. That's the rich guy. A wealthy construction executive from Waukesha County who entered the race last week. Michaels held a rally Monday to launch his campaign for governor and did not mention the last presidential election in his 9-minute speech. But he did go down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring in the ass, if you know what I'm saying. And I believe he also probably believes it's a rigged election, but he can't prove it. None of them can.